If you got your Bibles and you want to read along with us, we're going to read some familiar scripture, I guess, to some. Maybe not so much to some. But I've preached out of these scriptures before, and but that don't make no difference. There's nothing new under the sun. All we can do is preach what the Lord lays on our heart. Last Sunday we left here and we took Sheila and Logan to the house, and then when I left from there, I went down and visited Dusty down Hartsville a few minutes and to check on him, the hospital. And they was telling me about all the things he went through and what he suffered, they said, well, they was headed back to Nashville with him. When they got down to about Hartsville, he was done hanging out the window, yelling and moaning and groaning. They said Leanne asked Liz if she had the door locked. They was worried, afraid he was going to jump out of the car. And they said, well, there's your sermon. And we all laughed. And I get out there and start and get right there in front of the hospital, and here it starts. And I thought, man, I knew better than laugh. But it's not going to be jump out of the car. I couldn't find that nowhere in the scriptures. But it's going to be what my thought, as soon as I left there, what come to me is don't jump out of the boat. People, there's going to be hard times come. You look around us. If you think the devil is pleased with what's going on here, if you don't think he's pleased, then you're missing it. He's not pleased with what's happening here. He's not pleased to see all these children coming. He's not pleased to see all these people that love one another, that pray for one another, that I believe would go up to the bat for one another. And I believe I could call on any one of y'all anytime and y'all would be there if I needed you. The devil ain't happy with that. So he's going to do everything he can to destroy and tear down everything he can. And he's going to try his best to get us to jump out of the boat. That's his plan. We sang a song, The Ship of Zion. That ship is a picture of the Lord's church. And the old ship of Zion. And it's going to be tossed around to and fro, people. I'm going to tell you, it's going to go through hard times, and so are you. And so is we as a body. There's going to be times we're going to be tossed to and fro. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to seem like it'd be a whole lot better just to quit and jump out of the boat and just get it over with and just quit. But it'll never be better to do that. The Apostle Paul was on his way to Rome. We're at Acts 27. And it come time that they caught a boat going to Rome. And they had landed at a place called the Fair Havens. And it said that it was done past the time of the feast. And it was a time of year that it was getting bad time to be sailing or be out on the open waters. And the Apostle Paul warned them of that. But it says that the captain wanted to move on and go further because there was a better place to spend the winter. So they didn't listen to what the man of God had to say. And that caused trouble. And I'm going to tell you, people, today we're still the same boat. We're still not listening to what the man of God says. When he gives a warning, says don't do this or don't do that, it ain't our warning, it's God's warning. And we need to understand that, but we still don't listen to the word of God, and we still end up getting in storms. And then when we do, then if we ain't careful, we're going to want to jump out of the boat. But listen, it come a time that the winds got settled and everything seemed smooth. And boy, I want to tell you, when you think things are going good, when it's real smooth and your tension is down, that's very time is when the devil's coming. Because you've got off guard then, and here comes the storm, and boy, it's going to catch you by surprise. But we're going to start reading in the 13th verse when the storm, we're going to try to read down about the 38th verse before what you might say the shipwreck. But God brought that ship. It wasn't really a wreck, because God directed that ship to where He wanted it to go. And there wasn't one person harmed upon that boat. But I want you to realize if that some of them was wanting to jump out of the boat, and if it had of, I believe all of the lives would have been lost. I want you to realize today God has a plan for us at Hilltop. I believe He has a plan for us as a body to work and labor together, and if we'll do that, people, I want to tell you, I don't believe none of our lost children will die and go to a devil's hell if we'll carry through the plan that God has. I believe He loves us. And I believe He wants to see us conquer this. But I want you to, we've talked about it a million times. We're going to talk about ships a lot today. But I want you to realize, we've talked about it a million times, a ship can sail around the world and a mile from port sink. And I want you to realize how we can be a mile from port and you jump out. But don't jump out. Stay in the boat, Dusty. Don't jump out. No matter how rough it gets, son, you hang in there. You stay and hang in there and make it. We need one another. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had attained their purpose, loosened thence, they sailed close by Crete. That's what I'm telling you, boy. It got to a place that looked like everything was good, and they headed out knowing. No one done been warned. Don't do it. Listen, but not long after, there arose against a great temptress called Euryclidon, and that's a great wind out of the east or a storm out of the east. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. In other words, I talked about this here before. That's what sin does. Once you get started in it, it just seems like you just start down that road, and next thing you know, you're just dropping your sails and let it drive. Take you on further and further. But you don't need to do that. Listen to me. When you sin against God and you get in trouble, the best thing you can do is right then fall on your knees and repent and ask God to help you. Instead of keep letting it drive and going on down the road. But listen, that ain't where her thought is, but I couldn't help it. Running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. In other words, there was a lot of trouble going on in the boat. I want to tell you what, we've got a lot of work to be done right here. The devil's all around us, and he's doing all he can to destroy us, but which they had taken up and use helps. In other words, things to strengthen the bottom of the boat. They took chains or boards, whatever they could, to strengthen her. Well, I want to tell you, we need to do everything we can to strengthen the boat that we're riding in. Use the helps and the undergirding of the ship, fearing least that they should fall into quicksand, and straight sail, and they were driven. And being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out our own hands and the tackling of the ship. In other words, the cargo they was carrying. And when neither sun nor stars and many days had appeared, no small tempest lay on us. In other words, it was troubling time. All hope we should be saved was then taken away. I want you to realize, honey, when you get to that point, you will go to Jesus. Those that was on the boat that time, when it was being destroyed and it said that He was in the hinder part, asleep on a pillow. I want you to realize when it got rough enough, they finally went to call on the Lord and went to Him. And when He came up, they said, "You cannot, we perish." Honey, I want you to realize when we get to no bad enough shape, we'll talk to God. And they got to a place that Paul went and talked to God after this. I want you to realize we need the Lord. And Paul, after then that being a long absence, where was Paul? He was being gone for a while. He was somewhere talking to God. He was praying. I want you to realize sometimes when you see people, they're sitting, they look like they're far off. They don't look like they're even among you. They're talking to the Lord. In the midst of them, and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and had gained this harm or loss." And I'm sure that's exactly what they wanted to hear right then. As though I told you so thing. Here it was, you know, Paul had told them, they didn't listen. And there's been a time or two here that I've preached on things and then I've seen come to pass that we got, or some of you get caught up in, and we realize, well, I don't mean to throw him under the bus, but Brother Kyle, I preached here one time about diesel trucks and having all the things, being content with the things you have instead of going out and buying these big fancy trucks. And Brother Kyle, right after that, went and bought a brand new Dodge diesel truck. And I want you to realize he ended up in all kinds of trouble with it. And he come to me, he said, "I wish that I'd listened to you." I want you to realize there comes a time we need to listen. The cargo we're hauling here is very important. The cargo we're hauling here is these children. The cargo we're hauling here is the Word of God. And I want you to know it's important. And honey, when a man of God stands up and tells you something from the Word of God, follow the Spirit of God, you better listen to me. Listen. I want you to know the storm's coming. And it's going to get to a point that you don't want to quit. But listen to me, don't ever quit. There ain't no place to quit. Even when you've got out in sin. Even when you've went against God. I want you to realize you need to do everything you can to stay in the boat. It may take a while today. I can't help it. But I want to bring us out. Stay with me just a little while. I know people's attention spans ain't long, but just stay with me a little while. God has given me a warning, and I want you to get it. But after long, he stood before and he told him, he said, you should listen. And he said, "I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but the shield. For there stood before this night an angel of God, whom I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee.'" I want you to realize God had a place for Paul to go, and he was going there. And I want you to realize not only God was being merciful to make sure Paul got there to Rome that it appealed before Caesar, but he was giving him every one of them that was with him if they didn't jump out of the boat. Listen. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe, God, that it shall be even as I was told me." And I believe him too. I believe every word of God. "Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." God, I'm telling you a while ago, it says, it talks about Paul said he was shipwrecked once. I want you to realize it wasn't a wreck. It was a plan, God's plan, and he put them there on that island. It seemed to be a wreck. It destroyed the boat because God had told Paul it would be destroyed. But not none of them was harmed. "But when the 14th night was come, we were driven up down Adria. About midnight, the shipman deemed that it was near to some country. And he sounded and found 24 longs. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 furlongs. And what the sounded is, they had a string with a lead on the end of it. And they would drop that string down and they'd measure the water. And they first, when they measured it, was 20 furlongs or arm lengths. And that's how much water was under them. By that, they know how close they was getting to land. So that when they measured the first time, they was 20 furlongs. The next time, they was 15 furlongs. They was getting real close to land. And when they figured that out, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast forth anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. and the ship were about to flee out of the ship. Now listen, this is where some was about to jump boat on them. And the shipwomen were about to flee out of the ship. And when they had let down the boat into the sea under the color of, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion, he done warned the centurion once, don't you leave here. And he believed the captain rather than Paul. He said unto the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. I want you to listen. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. In other words, they listened to the man of God. They was lowering the boats, and I want you to realize they cut the strings to do away with the boats. They took away, you might say, their only hope they had if the ship sank. But I want you to know they was putting their hope in God, not in the lifeboat. They was putting it in God. And while the day was coming, Paul besought them all take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For this there shall not be a hair fall from the head of any of you. I want you to realize he knows every hair on our head, and he's able to protect us to the bitter end. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were they all good cheer, and they all took some meat. And when we were all in the ship, 16 souls. I want you to realize this wasn't a little fishing boat. This was a great big old carrier boat. There was 276 men in this boat. I believe it was probably a merchant's boat. They done throwed away all their, if you remember when we read to you earlier, they done took and throwed away all their cargo trying to lighten the boat. It was a merchant's boat. They was hauling precious goods. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. Whatever they had left to eat, they got rid of it. It got to the point they was of good cheer. You know why they was of good cheer? They believed God. Now, y'all bear with us. Four texts, and I was going to just read that. And then go read the text, but that wasn't the way God wanted. I had to do some preaching while I was reading. But four texts. We're going to go over here to a virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. And there is no more virtuous woman in this world than the Lord's church. If you want to see a virtuous woman, look around you. You're looking at one. He said that she is like a merchant ship that bringeth forth her food from afar off. I want you to realize, people, today we have a great responsibility, each and every one of us. Where are we bringing our food from? What are you being fed with today, Brother Larry? The Word of God. Where is it coming from, Brother Larry? God Almighty. Where's he at, Brother Larry? He's in our hearts and he's in heaven, and Jesus sits on his right side there on the throne. And its merchants come from afar off. People, what we have here is not of this earth. He said, my kingdom is not of this earth, but my kingdom is of heaven. I want you to realize what we have here in this boat is very, very important. You cannot find it out there just anywhere. And I'm not bragging because we are the Lord's church. I'm just telling it like it is. What a great responsibility we have to one another. I want you to realize some of them men wanted to jump out. Some of them wanted to quit. I want you to realize they could almost see it a little better over here. They was getting close to dry land. They wanted to just get off right there. But I want you to realize that ain't what God wants for you. There's going to come times that you're going to think it just ain't worth it no more. It'd be a whole lot easier to just jump off the boat right here and quit right here and go over here to this dry land and just get out of the storm, get out of the tempest, get out of the strong wind, get your feet set on some dry land and just go on about your life. You're saved anyway, right? I'm saved. I'll just go on. I'll just go on. It'd been easy for you, Dusty, wouldn't it? He was in such pain. He said, I've never been that kind of pain. It'd been easy for him. He could have jumped right on out that door, and it'd been over for him in just a few minutes. But you know what? You were left behind, bud. You were left behind a wife that loved you, two little babies, a mom and daddy, a brother, and us. It's easy to think, boy, it'd just be easy to just quit. It'd be easier to just go over here, just swim over here a little ways and get to dry land and quit. Find some peace. Boy, he thinks me feel that way every once in a while. Sometimes I get so tired. I think it'd be so used to when I hear preachers give up the church and they'd say, I'm just going to take a break for a while. And I think, how can you say that? How can you say that? You got so much to do, so much work to do. And then I see how tired we get. And I think, boy, it'd be easy. It'd be so easy. Now let's jump off the ship, go get a job. And make a living like everybody else. Then I look around. I look at these babies. I look at you. And I thank God I cannot leave them. There's no place to quit. Even though the devil wants you to. Where the whole ship is I. When you think about big ships, you think about Noah's Ark. What a ship. There was safety in that. There wasn't no safety nowhere else. And to me, she's a picture of Christ, but she's also a picture of church. I want you to realize it says in Peter, 8 souls were saved by water. I want you to realize that they didn't get saved when they entered that door. Their soul didn't get saved. They were saved before they entered that door. That's the reason why they was able to enter it. Honey, only ones can enter the Lord's church is saved people. That church, that ark represented Christ. I want you to realize, you look up the definition of ark, you won't find ship. You'll find vessel. And you'll find basket. And you'll find box. You know why? Because Moses was put in a basket. Was called an ark. And floated away in Jesus' arms. And found safety. The ark of covenant was made out of a box. That's where you find the words ark. But I want you to realize they all represent Jesus. And that's what that ark represented was Jesus here on earth. You know what we represent here today? Is Jesus. Amen. Still here on earth. We're still the light that shines. I want you to realize we are the old ship of Zion. And what we carry, we're a merchant ship. Carrying goods from afar off. We have the Spirit of God here. We have the Word of God. And they're all from heaven. No matter how rough it gets, no matter how far you get away from God, if you repent, you can always get back in the ship. But I want you to know something. Don't ever get out of it. You live your life according that you'll never bring a reproach to the Lord's church. But even if you do, get it fixed. There was a man named Jonah. The Lord told him to get ye down to Nineveh. To preach the word of God that some people might come out of their wicked ways. Jonah, instead of going, he hopped on a ship and headed to Tarshish. If you look in the Old Testament, every time you find ship, you'll find Tarshish. That was a shipping place. They can't tell you exactly where it's located, neither can I. Because he went against God, there will come a time that, and it's going to come for you too if you go against God and his words. You're going to run into a storm. They had run into a storm, and the shipmaster come to Jonah. We're going to read this, and we're going to preach this a little more. We're going to quit. I'm about had it. I'd say y'all are too. And so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, old sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." And they said, everyone to his fellow, "Come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lots fell upon Jonah. Then they said unto him, "Tell us why, we pray thee, for whose cause is this evil upon us, or what cause? And whence comest thou, and what is the country?" And he said, "And what are the people art thou?" And he said unto them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord thy God of heaven, which have made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, and because he had told them. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be come unto us?" And the sea was wrought and was tempest, the same thing we read to you earlier. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be come unto you. For I know that for my sake great tempest is upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea was wrought and was tempest against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and they cast him forth into the sea. And the sea was ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered up sacrifices unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And you're saying now, "I thought you said not to jump out of the boat." And I'm saying, don't jump out of the boat. You're saying, "Well, they throwed him out of the boat." And absolutely, they sure did. Even if you go against God, even if you bring approach against the church, there can always be fixed. But it said, Jonah told him, he said, "If you don't throw me out, the storm's going to keep coming." I want you to know Jonah was going in that water, one way or the other. Either he was going in by them putting him out, or they was all going to go with him. A little leaven leaveth the whole lump. They done all they could to keep Jonah in the boat. They paddled hard as they could to get to dry land. You know what would have happened there, could have happened? If Jonah would have repented and said, get me to Nineveh, the storm would have quit. But he didn't do it. He was full of pride and he wasn't going to Nineveh. And because he was so full of pride and wouldn't repent, he wouldn't cast out because he was going with them to Tarshish. He was cast out because he wouldn't repent. Amen. We're to do all we can to keep them from being cast out of the boat. But if they will not repent, we cannot let the Lord's church sink with one person. One person is not worth the church. Look at our merchandise. If Jonah would just repent, I know God would have directed them right to Nineveh. Right to, through the place he was supposed to go, just like Paul and him was. It was a certain island Paul and him was supposed to go to. Nowhere else. And that's where they landed. Exactly where God would have them to. If Jonah would have repented, instead of being spit up by a whale there on the banks of Nineveh, he could have landed there on a ship. You say it was a great fish. The Lord said in Matthew 12:40, he was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights. I've heard different people say it was just a big fish, it wasn't a whale. I'll take what Jesus said about it. Listen, if you brought a reproach to the church, repent. Get things right and don't get thrown overboard. We need you. We need you. Why do you think it was so important that those men didn't jump off the boat? They needed every one of them to complete the course that God laid out for them. Every one of them. You know, it come to a time that the prisoners, some of them wasn't even worried about them, but I want you to know, even the prisoners escaped. And not one died. It don't matter what part of the church you are, if you're the shipmaster, you might say, or if you're a deacon, or if you're a piano player or a lay member, if you sit in the back row, you sit in the front row, I want you to know, whatever part of the ship you're in, you're important. So when it gets rough, you think I'm just quitting. I'm going towards Tarshish. I'm done. I'm not doing this no more. I'm going to jump off. We're 15 furlongs here from the shore. I'm just jumping off. I'm going to swim right over there and be done with it. Look around you. Some of our forefathers died that you could be here today. Or some of our forefathers watched their babies burn so we could have this today. So you got your feelings hurt. So you got mad. So you don't like so-and-so as much as you used to. So, look what men and women went through that we could be in the old ship of Zion. And you tell me that it's worth jumping out. You tell me it's worth getting through out. If you're in a ship, you stay, you hold on, you paddle that oar. You fasten down the anchors. You strengthen up. You do what you can. But don't you ever get through out. And don't you ever jump out. And if you do, even then, there was a big fish or whale that got up Jonah and still got him where he's supposed to go. He can still get you where you need to be. I don't know who this is for. Maybe just for me. Maybe it's for you, bud. I don't know. But I never warned this. Next time somebody says, there's your sermon, I ain't laughing no more. This is two or three times that's happened to me. Weston told me a deer hunting story, and I laughed all the time he's telling it, and I end up preaching on it the next Sunday. I'm learning my lesson. Learn yours. Listen to the Word of God. That's my message. Brother Larry, if you got a song, we'll have a handshake.